Hello, my name is Mari Morshin. I am 13 years old. Today is Monday, May 27th, 2019, and I am speaking with Margot, who is my guest here at the Square House, and we are recording this interview in Rye, New York. So I would just like to ask you, what brought you like what gave you the will to come here and share your story? Because I know that sometimes these things can be sensitive and people can be closed about them. And
I am eager to talk about my grandfather, Sidney Olson, who was a senior editor at Time magazine in the late 1930s and up to the mid 1940s. And in 1944, he asked Henry Luce, the founder of Time, if he could go overseas and cover the war. And Luce said, yes, you can. There was a need for reporters to cover the front. And so he left his family of two young children and his wife living in Larchmont, and he decided he would go and do this. He was 31 years old. He didn't have to go. He had a nice cushy job and nice life, but he risked his life to go overseas. He kept a lot of notes that we have, and he also wrote many cables back to Time magazine, which we have copies of. And some of what he wrote was published for Time magazine, and a lot of it was just sort of saved because there were so many reporters for Time. There was a huge amount of information flowing into the New York offices. So not everything could get published. The theater of war was enormous. They just couldn't cover it all. So he has some amazing tales that have never been told. Where he ended up was I forget where he landed. I think it was in France. And then they traveled with military various units to the German front, which was moving every day. The U.S., by January of 1945, was pushing the Germans back. And he covered the crossing of the Ruhr River in Germany at Jülich. Ruhr is spelled R-O-E-R. And this was a major coup for the U.S. to have, and working with the Canadians, to have crossed the Ruhr. They then made their way towards Cologne, which was almost decimated. The city was crushed. He covered that, and he bounced from unit to try and get the most interesting stories. He ended up in Munich and saw Hitler's house, which had been overrun by people. Hitler had just died, and reporters were already there when he got there, and they were covering the story and grabbing pieces of the rubble. He then heard about something in the countryside outside of Munich he wanted to check out. So he got in a Jeep with some other guys, and they passed a sign that they didn't know what it meant. And they thought it was farmland, and then they saw a lot of barracks, and then they saw thousands of men behind barbed wire. And it had just been invaded. It was Dachau, and it had just been invaded by the U.S., and the gates had been opened, and they were allowed through, staying with the commander. I don't know what level commander was there, I forget. But they went into Dachau. There were throngs of prisoners who were in a horrific state, barely alive, and they were hugging him and kissing him and shouting and crying, and some were collapsing. They were so happy they didn't have the strength to show their happiness, and they just collapsed. And then my grandfather went through Dachau for at least 1 hour, maybe several. He got lost. He was with a few other reporters and I think occasionally a soldier. At one point there was shooting, and there were Germans, SS guards, that were fighting against the American soldiers, and one prisoner who was looking strong threatened my grandfather, thinking, having never seen an American uniform, he thought my grandfather might be one of the SS trying to die, which was happening. They were starting to change their clothes to escape with their lives. And my grandfather hugged him, just threw his arms around him and said, No, I'm with you. I'm here to help and look at my comrades, my colleagues. And he tried to bond with this man and succeeded in not getting shot. He then wrote about this for Time magazine, and it was published. He went on to see a few other critical things in the war, all Germany and Austria, and eventually made his way back to Paris for, I forget what they call it, VE Day? I forget, it's the end of the war. He was there for that, and then he got on a ship and made his way back to New York, and started his life again.
I just want to ask, when your grandfather saw and witnessed these malnourished people in Dachau, how did he react? How was he, when he came home?
I don't know how he reacted when he got home, because my mother was very young. She was, I forget, maybe 6.
Oh, okay.
So she doesn't really know how that impacted his home life or his marriage. But he, in writing about the liberation of Dachau, he said, I didn't get sick. Some men around me were getting sick. They encountered cattle cars with dead bodies stacked. The article is very, very graphic. He wrote in his notes that he was angry. More than anything, he just felt this violent anger, which I think is a good sort of coping mechanism at the time. And later in college, I read his article. No one had ever shown it to me, and I looked it up in my college library. And the next time I saw him, I asked him to tell me about it, and he looked sort of out the window, and he didn't look at me, and he said, I don't really like to talk about that.
Mm. Well, I can see that, obviously, it's imprinted, like, on him, and he's been affected. In like a lighter tone, what is your favorite memory of you and your grandfather together?
So nice. He had an art studio. He wasn't an accomplished artist, but he loved to kind of dabble. And I think secretly he loved to buy all the materials. He had pots and pots of paintbrushes and boxes of charcoals and pastels and wonderful papers. So he would, to keep me busy, he would set me up in his art studio and encourage me to draw and do calligraphy. He had inks and pen and ink and little nibs that he put in to draw the letters, and it was great fun.
It's really nice. I just wanted to ask, why do you think it's important to preserve people's stories, and that we're here today, you know, recording these things? How do you think we will learn from them?
That's an interesting question. It's sort of hard. It almost seems so obvious to me. I don't know how to express it in words. I just feel like everyone should preserve stories. We can learn from history. That's the bottom line. There's a lot of strife right now in our country in 2019, and we're starting to see patterns that are repeating from the era of World War II. A lot of prejudices are resurfacing, and at the very least, we can try harder not to repeat our mistakes by examining history. But I also think that on a personal level, it's so much fun to think about our relatives that have passed on, and you cherish those memories, so it's fun to talk about them.
Okay. Thank you so much for this. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.